because it's just 9 days now, hard to believe that actually, since Liam O'Brien's documentary detailing how two brothers were abused by members of the Spiritan Order in Blackrock College. And since then, the revelations keep on coming. There were calls today in the Dáil for a debate around it, Paul.
Yeah, it still hasn't been fully debated since that. The Taoiseach was asked last week as well about a public inquiry into this. He kind of said that they can be useful, but it's important to kind of work out what the full facts are before we head into something like that, because we know full well that things like commissions of inquiry or tribunals or any kind of established formal process can take a long time for victims. So there is, I suppose, there's a lot more than I suppose the general feeling is that there's a lot more to come out. And after that, then you can kind of put it into the political arena or the kind of the overall investigative arena, particularly with regard to something like a commission of investigation, which would take a long time. There was calls today. Ivana Bacic made a call in the Dáil today to have some kind of time on the order of business.
Was there support for that?
Yeah, the general, I suppose, the general idea is supported, but it's still, it's not formalised just yet.
Barry Cowan, a formal full public inquiry. Given we've been there before, obviously, with the Murphy report and other reports into institutional abuse, what would make us not do it in this case?
Well, many institutions such as this school, for example, weren't included in that. This issue has come to light. It presents another terrible vista in relation to our past. It's, you know, there could well be an investigation, a Garda investigation, a criminal investigation. It's for the guards to ascertain, based on the information that's emanating from that programme and subsequent programmes on your own channel. And, you know, a debate could be catered for within the Dáil. It may allow more information to be brought to bear. I think when all that information is brought to the table, then we can look and ascertain if a public inquiry is necessary then, but only then. I don't think we should rush into it at this stage. But that's not to take in any way, shape or form from the terrible atrocity that's been bestowed on those impacted and affected by this terrible thing.
Nessa, do you think that's where we'll ultimately end up?
I do, if I'm honest. I think a debate in the Dáil is the first step. But, you know, we continuously have, you know, we have an issue with institutional life in this country. And it's all well and good to tell parents now that this isn't happening in a particular school. But we're never really going to, you know, get to the end of this conversation unless we have full sunlight on it. And I mean, there is the other aspect of it, which is until you really hear from victims and until you really give them a chance to tell their story, you know, in a very practical way, we don't know actually what the financial liability of the church should be here. And I know that that's an ongoing issue. And I certainly, you know, I think we need to have a conversation around that too. These are new cases coming out. So I'm very loath usually to kind of say we need a tribunal or an inquiry, because I sit on PAC and on budgetary oversight, and I know the kind of the commitment, the financial commitment that means from the state and you know, the administrative commitment. But it's hard to see how we don't need this. There's a scale of this, the amount of people involved. I think we are probably looking at a public inquiry of some sort.
Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose first is to commend those who've come forward over the last number of days. Do you know what I mean? And because it's never easy for any survivors to come forward and to tell their story. But I think what needs to happen now is this crosses a number of departments. So the Department of the Taoiseach, Department of Education, Department of Children and Department of Justice. And I think that they need to meet with the survivors and allow the survivors to have, I suppose, their say as to what is the next step forward. Because I think if we learn anything from all of the investigations, and particularly around survivors, is their voice has to be at the forefront. So I think that they should be the ones who are dictating where this goes, and if they want an investigation, well, then they should have one, without a doubt. But even that, if there is an investigation, we have to learn the mistakes of what we're looking at now with the mother and baby homes, and make sure that survivors get one that are fit for purpose.
There's no saying that we, even if an investigation were called tomorrow, that we would get to the bottom of it, given, you know, where we are in relation to the mother and baby homes, and if we take that as an example.
I mean, and that's where there's that awful phrase, lessons must be learned. It absolutely is the case with how the survivors of mother and baby homes have been treated that's only recent. So if there is going to be any inquiry into what's happened in the Spiritan order, then we have to take those learnings from that and make sure that this is fit for purpose and that the survivors are at the centre of how it's designed.
Speaking of learning lessons, I see today the Taoiseach was promising legislation to allow full disclosure in medical cases would be in place before the end of the year. That's if he can get the Dáil on board with it. Like obviously, it's 4 years since Vicky Phelan stood aside on the steps of the court and you know, kicked off this phase of the debate around medical disclosure. But this debate has been going on for decades now. How are we still at the point where we're saying we hope to get this over the line over the next?
It's very basic. It comes down to a commitment to it or a perception that those who fight kind of should have to fight. I think you could see that a couple of weeks ago, the Sunday Times had reporting on some of the comments made by the clinical lead in cervical check, that some of the women who were sick didn't feel that their stories were sad enough, that's why they went to a tribunal. And I think when you come back to that, you can sometimes pinpoint an attitude that these things don't have to be done, because fighting is what you do in Ireland if you're vulnerable, if you're, I suppose, if you're done down by the state, that you just have to fight. You know, it even goes back to the Spiritans at the same time that they were apologising in 2012 because the National Safeguarding Body identified 48 priests. They were still fighting two of the victims who were identified last week up to the Supreme Court. And when you start to untangle that attitude across the board, you come back to the reason that full disclosure isn't codified in law.
Yeah, Barry Cowan, like, you know, if you follow these cases over many years, you will know that there's lots of data, there's lots of research there that says that actually if medics came out at times when there is these terrible accidents and incidents in our hospitals, if medics came out and put their hands up immediately and explained to people exactly what had gone wrong, that actually people would not take in many, many cases, exactly, the cases would never have been progressed. So it makes sense even from a purely financial point
exactly
of view.
Exactly, the state would be even a lot better off, yeah, had that been the
But why are we, only doing this now? This just seems, where was the political will to progress this?
Well, obviously you could argue that the political will wasn't strong enough. And it has taken Vicky's death and the commitment that was made by the Taoiseach today is dependent on agreement with other parties to be in a position to allow the Dáil enact relevant legislation that can commit to mandatory open declaration. And I would hope that is received in the way, in the spirit in which it was given, and that all party leaders might meet as soon as practically possible, agree a pathway by which we can finally bring this to a conclusion, and in doing so, honour the commitment and effort and appreciation that the rest of us have for the way in which Vicky Phelan and others have sought to bring this to a successful conclusion for those that come after them, despite it not being available to them, and the terrible trauma that they had to go through in addition to the horror of the illness.
Where is the Patient Safety Bill, Nessa?
Well, it went to committee in February, I believe, and there was a feeling then that there was more work needed to be done. I have to say, I think, and it's meant to come back for its final stage in the next couple of weeks, and I believe Heather Humphreys committed today that it would be done by December 17th. I do think it's a bit more complex than, you know, the political will to do this, because we've been talking about institutions here tonight, and obviously this is bound up with all sorts of institutions in the state, hospitals, HSEs. So I have to say, I see this as kind of sitting alongside things like assisted decision making and the mental health reform, which is around person-centred decision making in health. And I have to say, having sat in the health committee, I mean, I think we are having in the media and maybe in politics a conversation around person-centred decision-making and human rights. And I think that those who are using those services are very much interested in that. But I have been surprised by perhaps, not resistance is probably too strong a word, but a kind of a lag within kind of healthcare and those discussions around the idea that, yes, of course, the person is the very centre of this decision making and should be the centre. And what I experience when you kind of try and kind of advocate on behalf of somebody is a very opaque system that doesn't necessarily put the person first. And I think we're going to have to stare that down and look at the way, in a very practical way, day in, day out, our health system disenfranchises people to advocate for themselves.
Will the legislation do? Would putting mandatory disclosure on a statutory footing, will that change that culture? Because it is a cultural issue, I think, isn't it?
I was just going to say that the legislation is only one piece of the puzzle. I mean, what we have to have is the cultural shift within all of those institutions. And my own family had a case of medical negligence, and you were fought 15 years to get a result. Do you know what I mean? And having to send medical documents abroad because no doctor will look at the medical documents here. Do you mean people are brought kicking and screaming, just fighting, just for the answers of what happened? Do you know what I mean? In my case, where did it go wrong? And to make sure that nothing that won't be repeated or that somebody else won't go through that. So that's a cultural thing that we're going to have to address.
But the institutional issue, though, yeah. But also the attitude of the state claims agency on behalf of the state. Is part of that, surely. That the first, second and third instinct is to defend.
Oh, and that's it, circle the wagons, do you know what I mean?
Sure, just you're never, back ever to what admit. We said earlier, the right thing to do by the patient, by the state, in relation to cost, is initial disclosure, is a sea change, is a way in which to deal with this, which is far different than was the case previously. You know, and civil servants too have to grasp that nettle. And I know we as representative of the people have to ensure that they do. And that's our job, and we're failing in that if we don't bring about a resolution. And as simple as it might seem to say that the political will has to be the political, you know, the politicians have to use the power at their disposal to insist it happens and not resist the sort of institutional change that is been repeated on generation after generation.
Does the state have some culpability in relation to what's now emerging from Blackrock College? I've got a texter here. The Louise O'Keefe case made clear that irrespective of the patronage of a school, the state cannot absolve itself of liability to school victims.
Yeah, it has.
Louise fought for years for this. The state cannot be allowed to forget. So, I mean, is the state right in the centre of this, actually?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It can't abdicate its responsibility. It has checks and balances. It has a responsibility to ensure that those that deliver education do so in a safe environment and to protect and cherish those that they are taking care of. And, you know, irrespective of what it's done in a private school, its public pay is made available to those that deliver it. So, of course, the state has a responsibility, and of course, the state has to recognise that responsibility. And that'll be part of that debate. That'll be part of that discussion that would hopefully arrive at a conclusion whereby you have an investigation.
I mean, we still have a majority of religiously run schools in this country. So, the state does, to some extent, default its responsibility to another organisation to deliver education. And I think that has to be, part of the conversation.
Also, the tragedy is that Louise O'Keefe, again, had to fight tooth and nail and go all the way to the European courts just to establish that point of the state's responsibility.
There's an excellent piece in our paper today from Fergus Finlay about whether or not religious orders should even be allowed to exist. Knowing what we know, having the benefit of decades of experience, he asks the question, why, if this was any other voluntary body, it would be torn up. The management would be cast out, not allowed to sit on boards. But because it's a religious order, we accept an apology, we accept a tokenistic amount of money, and we move on. I mean, there's a big question there.
That doesn't say, not to say that you abolish all religious orders, but I mean, you know, if they're run effectively and run appropriately and meet the demands that's placed upon them by the state, but it can't be the way it was. It has to be the way it needs to be.
Okay. We'll leave that one there. Just a couple of more texts before we leave it. A commission of investigation targeting spirit and related abuse is essential now, says Brian. Keep its terms of reference narrow and focused. And another texter says, the survivors and victims of all violence and abuse need to be heard, whether they are from mother and baby homes, church institutions, state actions, or at the hands of paramilitaries. We need to listen.